All right, Numbers chapter 13. How many people will be honest and say you believe that the Bible is the Word of God? How many people believe that God does not lie? How many people believe that every promise that God made is true? Now, how many believe, now you don't have to answer out loud if you don't want to, how many people believe that you in your life are living out all of the promises that you know in the Bible? Sit up, buddy. I'm not going to be long today. You can make it. Trust me. You know, there's a reason for that. You know, and I found this time in my life, and I ran across this truth this week, and I think it'd be a great help to many people. And I think it's because, and this is not a new situation that has happened. We see about it all the way back in the book of Numbers. We'll read part of the story, but basically God had made a great promise to his people, to his own people that were set apart like no other people on the face of the earth. He told them that they were going to inherit a promised land. And they even came to the point, they got to that land and it was evidence, it looked like they could actually receive it, but they did not receive it. And they wonder, why did that happen? Why could that happen? And because there was even, they even had physical evidence that what God said was true. But something happened along the way. There was an evil report that was given, and they believed that evil report more than they did the promise of God. And I'm going to call this today the elements of the evil report. I think you and I, we'd be able to see in our own lives. And it's funny, everything is so incredibly simple. I say that all the time, you know, but how easy we get deceived and distracted from just simple faith in God. You know, I was thinking about, as I mentioned during the prayer time, I was praying this morning, even when I was walking around the river, that, Lord, I want to die in faith. And I was thinking about Hebrews and how my favorite part, when I love to listen to Hebrews by Alexander Scorby. When he gets to that last point, he said, and these all died in faith. I just want to run around and shout somewhere. but if you know everything in Hebrews, it's not all good news. I mean, some stopped the mouths of lions. Some quenched the violence of fire. Others received their dead raised to life again. But some were tortured, not accepting deliverance. Some were sawed in sunder. That means cut in half with a saw. But they died in faith, you know, and I was thinking about every single one of them died in a point in their life where there was just the only evidence they had was, well, God said it. That's good enough for me. So we're going to look at some things here in Numbers chapter 13. I hope it'll be an encouragement to you, but we're going to pick up in verse 17 where basically they've made it through the Red Sea. They've been delivered, and God has miraculously delivered from the bondage of the Egyptians. And God has brought them right to the promised land, just like he said he would. He told them that it would be a land flowing with milk and honey. In verse 17, we pick up there, it said, "Then Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said unto them, get you up this way southward and go up into the mountain and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many. And what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, or what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and bring ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin and Rehob as men come to Hamath. And they ascended by the south and came into Hebron, where Ahiman, Shishai, and Talmai, the children of Anak, were. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. And they came into the brook of Eshcol and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes. And they bear it between two upon a staff." If you understand, they used a big cluster of grapes. It's so heavy that two people got a staff. One's got the front, one's got the back, just to carry this cluster of grapes. That's how big and how bountiful they are. And it says, "And they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. And the place was called the Brook of Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. Now, understand, they were there 40 days. And they're bringing back this bounty of these grapes, the pomegranates. They've been safe the whole time, haven't been destroyed. And verse 26, and they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel and unto the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came into the land whither thou sendest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of Hebron, the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and in the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coasts of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Now see, sometimes, you know, it's not wrong to know the size of the army, but it's just always good to know that God is greater, that through God you can win. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched into the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we went have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and all the people wept that night. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word of God. Please accomplish your purpose through this preaching. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, in the passage here, as we made note of, you know, they've been miraculously delivered from the Egyptians. They've been freed, running for their lives. God parted the Red Sea so they could go over on dry land. And now God has brought them to this land that he says is their inheritance. And all of a sudden, their promises, and he told them, is the land flowing with milk and honey. And it was a bountiful blessing. They brought back the grapes. They brought back pomegranates. They brought back figs. And as a living testimony that the word of God was true, they had physical evidence right before them that the word of God was true, but somehow when it comes to actually taking the land, they don't take the land. And I honestly believe we're in a generation of people, myself included, at different times in my life, that I think if we stopped and took testimonies, there would be testimonies probably by every child of God that's born again to the reality of when they saw the word of God come true in their life. They've trusted God, they saw God keep his word. They trusted God, and they saw God's ability. Here's another answer to prayer walking in right now, by the grace of God. And you pray for people, and God watches over them and blesses them. And good to see you, Warren, by the way. Praise God. We pray for you during the prayer time. We pray for you during the prayer time.
When?
Well, at 1:45.
Is it for real?
Yep, sure did. Amen. Sure did. Amen. And here
my
you are.
Day or your day?
Not today. Here you are. Amen. Praise God, Warren. Praise God. Love you.
Yeah.
Good to be sober. Is that?
Praise God. We're in Numbers chapter 13. If you want to join us. Now, so these people were not without the reality of the supernatural Almighty God working in their lives. And God is wanting to further bless them. God is guiding them to his will, but their report stops them from going to will. And you know the story. After they did not go in, and for 40 years they wandered about, not experiencing, partaking of what God had for them. But let's see why that happened. Now, in the passage here, some things that I just felt like the Lord wanted to bring out. It's number one, the evil report begins by acknowledging the truth of what God has said. So Satan is very deceptive. You know, he doesn't very often say that the word of God just isn't true. He starts by acknowledging the truth of what God has said. Now, in verse 21, it says, so they went up, well, we read that. Let's start in verse 26. And when they came, and they went and came to Moses and to Aaron, and all the congregation of children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them, and unto all the congregation showed them the fruit of the land. Now they showed them the fruit of the land, and they told them, and said, we came into the land whither thou sendest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. So there was no denial. They came back and they said, what God said about the land is true. Surely it is a land flowing with milk and honey. And like I said, all of us would probably testify. There was a testimony. We said that we believe the Bible is the word of God. We said we believe that God doesn't lie. We said that we believe that in the promises of God. And Satan is all for agreeing with that. But notice what happens next. An evil report never completely rests upon the authority of what God has said. An evil report never completely rests upon the authority of what God has said. Notice this word here after they say that, verse 28, nevertheless. What God is, and this is another way of saying, but. What God said is true, but. Nevertheless. Now, and I wrote the verse up here because it's very important. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. See, God, the promises of God are yea and are amen. Recognizing your life and in my life that when there's a promise I'm trying to trust in and I want to add something like but, then that's when the issue, or nevertheless, or, well, you know, like there's a variety of ways we can excuse, but if God says something, we just believe him. You know, so often, this is why, you know, I was thinking about this week. You know, I was thanking the Lord for how he led me to train Richard for the ministry. You know, the secular type Bible college that I went to for 1 year before God led me out of there, I realized that, and I was thinking about this, even from a lot of people I've talked to, different Bible college and different training, most Bible training trains people to be loyal to a Bible position, instead of training people to be loyal to the person that wrote the Bible. Because what happens, you have scored the people, like I kind of mentioned this before, when they can hold their position without really have a connected relationship to Jesus Christ. And will take great pride in that position to the point they'll even be unlike the person that wrote the Bible, Jesus Christ. But God has called us to be loyal to a person. And the person of Christ, when God gives us a word, we rest upon what he has said. And you know, and if we really study the Bible, looking at just what is God's directive for me? It's, you know, and I'm not against Bible doctrines, because doctrine just means teaching. But sometimes we develop these positions that really supersede just, okay, what is God directing me to do? It's amazing how many people, I mean, I've been in church since 1993. Well, longer than that, been saved since 1993. And it's amazing in myself, I have to be included in that category, the number of times I could quote Bible positions, teach Bible thoughts, teach Bible this, and not actually for that moment in my life really know what God wanted me to do. I mean, and I was thinking about this even this morning as I was praying. How is it that the disciples, all they had was the Torah, the Old Testament, and yet they could fully walk with Jesus into death? I mean, this verse we just read right here, they didn't have it, but they knew it because they knew him. And they all the promises of God in him are yea and amen. And after the resurrection of power, they could simply trust Christ and follow Christ because in their walking with him, they learned to be loyal to the person of Jesus Christ. Now, so the evil report, now they testify, surely, this is the fact, surely the land floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Yes, the Bible is the word of God. But, nevertheless. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, And all these things should be added to you. Well, but love your enemies. Pray for them despite for the use and persecute you. But and that's the evil report is beginning. Bless them that curse you. Pray for them despite for the use you. But you know, and we nevertheless, and whatever we add, and just pick whatever verse that you might be struggling with today and find out what evil report's been added to that. And understand that part of that report is keeping you out of trying to experience a land that God has designed as a place of blessing for you. You know, it didn't seem like a good thing to bless your enemies and pray for them to despitefully use you. But I tell you, I thank God for the ones that I've been able to do that to. It taught me so much more about the person of Jesus Christ. I thank God for those things. The Bible said, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Paul said that my strength, when as God spoke to me, my strength is made perfect in weakness. And Paul said, I therefore rejoice in necessities, in distresses, and in infirmities. I thank God for those things that have come into my life. I thank God. I can honestly thank God today that I'm not as powerful as I would like to be. I thank God that I'm not as strong as I would like to be. Because, man, I would be even harder to deal with than I already am. I thank God for the weaknesses that He's allowed in my life that caused me to realize that I really do need the help of Christ. I thank God even, I wish it wasn't disobedience, and I wish it hadn't hurt people, but through the failures and things that I've done wrong in my life, I recognize that my life is sustained by the grace of God. And thank God for that. And when I embrace those things, when I actually give thanks for even the things in my life that I don't like the way they are, guess what? It opens a door for me to experience Christ in a way that I never thought possible. And he says, you know, so an evil report never completely rests upon the authority of what God has said. Whosoever forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Either we rest in that or a report starts forming that adds something to that. And he even goes as far as that he there in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. The report's building. Because we add something to it, whether we interpret that through some other person we heard quote that verse, maybe somebody else and whatever, but and through that, know what happens? We miss out on headed in the direction God wants you to. Number three, and last of all, an evil report places an emphasis upon people. An evil report places an emphasis upon people. Notice verse 28. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. And the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. And the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. They keep saying, you know what? I know what God said. And what God said is true. This surely is the land full of milk and honey, but the people. But because of the people, you can never have what God really wants you to have. You know, God wants you to have peace, but you know what? You really can't have the peace that God wants you to have because of the people in your life messing that up. Now, that's not true, but that's what Satan tells almost everybody every single day. You know, you can really have a life full of love if it wasn't for those people that you're surrounded by. You can really have joy in your life if it wasn't for the people around you. If it wasn't for this world and all the wickedness, everything you see on the news. I mean, you can have peace if it wasn't for all the guns that are out there. No, the people carrying the guns. No, that's what Satan says. It's the people. The people. An evil report always places the emphasis upon people that supersedes the power of God. Remember David? We talked about him a few weeks ago. And man, I was good stuff. But still, I'm still glowing over what God did in my heart with that. And you know what? David recognized that when Goliath was threatening him, he was trying to make David afraid by his own flesh. Am I a dog that you sent coming to me with sticks? I mean, look at this. This is your example of a warrior. This little warrior is what you sent to me. And he's the emphasis on the flesh. And even the army of the Israelites, they thank you, Lord. That's even the army of the Israelites, they were afraid because of the person of Goliath. As long as they saw people their own size, And giants, they felt like they could deal with it, and everything was okay. But they struggled through that, and they could not handle it because the people. So the evil report always puts the emphasis on the people. Now, I want you to notice this also. It's not just through the size of the enemy, but the evil report also emphasizes people and places emphasis on us. Because sometimes the confidence in our own strength is our own worst enemy. You know, Leonard Ravenhill said something that I never forgot. He said, you know, he said the worst sin in the world is not adultery. He said the worst sin is that I can manage my life without God. Because that's what's destroying our nation. People believing they can manage their life without God. That's why people die lost without Christ. Because they believe they can manage their life without God. Because, we're all born going our own way. Salvation calls for us to turn from our own way to the way. And the reality of that is that when we turn from our way to the way, and our nature doesn't want to do that because we want to manage our own lives. And so the evil report begins by, for instance, if you're struggling with something right now, if you have gotten past the point where you say it's the people, then you start looking at the person of yourself. And you start thinking, maybe you look at your past record of Christian faithfulness. And let's say it's negative, and you say you can think about it a different time you stumble. But you know God has given you a directive for your life, and you're looking at that. You're beginning to gauge whether or not you can do what God wants to with your life based on what you've done in the past. That's what I said. That's also one of the idols of religious people or independent Baptists is the past. Sometimes for the now let's take it for the positive. Now you look at, or you look at yourself and your past track record, and you believe that you can do it because of what you've done before, and you begin to look at yourself and take confidence in yourself, and a little bit of pride begins to develop there, and all of a sudden you still are unable to do what you need to do, you know, and you miss out because you're looking at yourself instead of looking at Christ, you know. I heard a good quote this week, a great quote, and if I embraced it, it helped me. It may not apply to anybody else, it may just apply to me. But the preacher said, stop looking around for a voice that agrees with what you think about yourself. And he said, just believe God. You know, And I believe in that we have an awesome identity through Jesus Christ. But what enables me to live out that identity that I really have in Jesus Christ? It's by looking at Jesus Christ. But as long as I'm looking at me too much, trying to figure it out and keep trying to find confidence in me, I'm not, like the Bible says, the eye be single, the whole body is full of light. But when if my eyes is single, looking at Christ, then he's everything. And then I just do what he says to do. And by doing that, I actually embrace and live out who I really am. And you know what's better? Thank you, Lord. You know what's better than knowing who I am in Christ? Well, you know what's better than knowing who you are in Christ? Is living who you are in Christ. That's better. Because just knowing it doesn't actually mean there's action. But if I live out who I, it's better to experience who I am in Christ than actually just to know it intellectually. You know, because there's many things, just like here God's people are at the promised land, and we read it, the Bible says they've walked, they've been faithful, God's carried them, they're right at the door to go and take the promise, and they're weeping. The Bible says that they wept all night. And they could have just went in if they just believed what God said. But the evil report caused them to, yes, you know, this is what God said. I recognize this is true. And I can tell, in fact, there's evidence. The grapes are here, the pomegranates are here. I got evidence in my life. I can stop right now. I'm saying this as a group collectively. This is what we're saying. We can start right now and say, I know there's time in my life. God met with me. I know the Bible's true. But now the report's building. But what about this situation in my life? But I tried that. And then the report begins to focus upon the people. The people. The people. That's why Satan uses the airwave so much. I say it often because it's true. I mean, you ought to really just try this one day. Just really try to spend as much time as you can with the Lord, get filled with the Holy Spirit of God, and then go turn the TV on. I'm just the news. I'm not talking about just evil influences, but just turn the news on and see how your attitude changes toward life all of a sudden. And it's amazing. You know, because all of a sudden you begin to, the evil report begins to build, and everything that God just did in your heart through the Word of God and through prayer and meeting with Him, the evil report begins to get in. And all those promises that you were just so glad about just moments ago just lose their zeal, their power. I mean, sometimes you're going to come to church sometime. You know what happens? God will meet with you by the grace of God. You speak to your heart, and guess then you go home. And guess what? There's people there that may not have your same joy there. It may happen before you even get home. Somebody may cut, if you drive, somebody may cut you off. If you're walking, somebody may almost run you over. And you say, the people, the people. But that's the evil report building. Because Satan is trying to stop you from entering into that land that flows with milk and honey. You know, and I believe these are good grapes, you know. I just crossed my mind, you know. You know how you go to the store and almost everybody does this, and how many people eat grapes? And almost none of us, and I'm going to say us all anyway, if I might be wrong, but almost none of us buy grapes by faith. You know what I'm talking about? Because what do most people do? In fact, the grocery stores have just come to accept it that we're not going to buy grapes by faith. Because the staff is right there, and what do they see you do? Pick that grape up, pop it in your mouth, and see if it's any good. And I've never had a staff complain one bit, you know, when I've been right there doing it. Because they don't expect us to buy them by faith. They want us to test them out and see it, you know. And I believe these grapes, I believe they got to taste these grapes and test these grapes. They had the proof that they were great and the land was good to be partaken of. And they were ready. Everything, it was in position for them to experience everything that God wanted them to experience. The only thing that stopped them was a report that caused them, now catch this now, caused them to believe the words of men more than the words of God. It's really all that simple. You know, if you're born again, you probably know enough by now to know a direct, even if you're not born again, you know enough by now to understand somewhat of a direction God wants your life to head. But you know what hinders you and I from going accepting that direction? It's somebody else's voice. Somebody else is talking to us. And I don't mean that physically. Maybe after, but what I mean is the opinion of somebody. You know what? Because you know, I know this from being a parent. And if you've ever tried to raise children in a godly way, and honestly, even if you don't, isn't it amazing how everybody knows what's best for your children except what you? The one that God gave them to. Everybody knows what's better for your children. And guess this, and then once, since my boys are a young adults back there, isn't it amazing how many people know what's better for your own life even more than you do? Am I right about it? And it's amazing. And isn't it amazing? And they all know, and you can, and isn't it amazing now? And maybe y'all may be a little bit stronger than I am, but you can be having a great day, feeling good about your direction, feeling about the way you're headed. You got just kind of somewhat of a peace from God. And somebody comes in, somebody that if you look at their life, you wouldn't even want to live the life that they live. If you would not want to be them in 1,000 years, and they question why you're living the way you're doing, and it affects you. And moments ago, you had joy, you had peace, you were thankful for what you were doing, you were just enjoying life, living it the way God wants you to live it, and somebody just brings some type of evil report to bring in the question that you might not be able to experience the promised land, like, and all of a sudden you're weeping. You may not be weeping physically, but I mean, that joy you just had just went out the door. That's how powerful that evil report is. But what's even greater is the power of God. It doesn't have to affect you that way, because we read in the passage that when this report began to build, in verse 30, the Bible says Caleb stilled the people. He said, wait a minute, before Moses, said, let us go up at once and possess it. And I like the way he says it. And I'm looking at verse 30 of Numbers 13. For we are well able to overcome it. He's not saying we're not just going to survive those giants. We are well able to overcome it. You know, and those giants in your life, that habit, that addiction, that besetting sin, that continual source of stress, you're well able to overcome it. Because you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. But you're not going to find it in the mirror. You're not going to find it in yourself. You're going to find it in the promises of God. You're going to find it trusting God and believing Him and walking in His will. And every single person can trust God and walk with God. But it's just a matter of trusting Him. Because the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Again, like I say often, one thing that religion is often does is cause you to think that somebody has a greater faith than somebody else, like as if they're endowed with something beyond someone else. Because when you look at somebody else's life, you think, I could never live like that. But and the truth is, you know what? You're not supposed to live like that. You're supposed to walk with God, have fellowship with God. And honestly, this is so amazing if you really think this, if you really realize this. This is also, you know, another reason Satan works religiously to make us carbon copies of each other? Because if we're all carbon copies, we don't need the voice of God. You know, most churches are built, you know, religiously speaking, on just kind of coming together with this group. And I realize we need to, how can two walk together except they be agreed? I understand that. What I'm saying is, aesthetically and physically, if we just come to look the same and be the same in every single way, and we don't really need God individually speaking to us. You know what? I hope that it is my prayer that I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing right now. I prayed. I really want to continue the book of Galatians. But, I mean, when I ran across this week, and actually I was listening to a different message, and it's like, whoa, and different things hit me through this, and I thought, wow. That's exactly where we're at. And this is what we need. But you know what? I'm not meant to be the only person here that heard from God this week. Every single one of you are meant to hear from God daily and to hear His voice. And you're going to make decisions, you know, that honor God. And guess what? I don't have to agree with all of them. I don't even have to understand them all. But you have to know they came from God. But what happens, and what happened most religiously, people look to the leader to tell them what to do, and y'all don't necessarily do that. Or, if you don't, you look on the internet to find some doctrine that agrees with the way you want to live your life, instead of actually hearing it from God Himself. You know, and what happens, and this is why when God gives you a promise, it's so easily deflected, because many times that promise is built upon people. And God wants our promises to be built upon Him and not to be affected by what we hear from people, what we see from people, and what not even by what we see in ourselves. You know, if David had listened to Goliath, he'd look at him, wow, you know, whoa, maybe he's right. Maybe I shouldn't be fighting this battle. Maybe I am in over my head. But can I tell you something, though? Everything that God wants you and I to do is beyond our ability to do it. We can't do it without Him. We're never, because Jesus said it. He said, for without me, ye can do nothing. That's not a bad thing. But the world says you can do anything you set your mind to. Like I've said before, when I was downtown visiting the hospital, I said, we will beat cancer. That's what it says in one of the hospitals there. We will do it. Doesn't matter if God helps us or not. We will do it. You know, and they might beat one. Guess what? Then there will be another one. And then another one. And then another one. And then another one. Just like we hear more and more cancers all the time. it just, I can't, even not too long, heard of some that was unique that nobody ever heard of, you know, and, you know, we're just not as strong as we think we are, you know. And all, God just simply wants you to hear his word, and regardless of what impossible situation you're in your life for this moment, God wants you to believe his word more than you believe your own self. He wants you to believe his word more than you believe what anybody else says. He wants you to believe his word like it was said by God. You know, isn't that the crux of it is, if God really is the Lord, then if he says something, it really matters. That, and this is the life that people have struggled with from the beginning of time, just simply taking God at his word. But the great news is, there always seem to be, as sad as it is, that for 40 years, some of them rejected the promises and wandered in the wilderness, Joshua and Caleb still were around. And they, so that tells you and I that we don't have to have faith like the majority of people do. You and I do not have to have an intellectually based or proven faith. We can have a faith that simply is that God said, I trust you. Again, we see that in the disciples, the apostles. He walked with them. They didn't have this complete canon like we do. And I'm not throwing out the word of God, but I'm telling you, sometimes you're going to read a verse and you're not going to be able to look up the history and everything behind it to verify everything. It's why you can believe what it says. Some things are just so completely plain. I'm not discarding the context, but I'm saying sometimes we study the Bible to find out why we can actually believe that what God said will work, rather than, like I just said, like love your enemies, you know. I mean, how does that ever really work out positive for us, you know? Because some enemies never change, and sometimes they do. But I can testify personally of times where it has worked out positively. Most importantly, I see Jesus more differently than I ever have. Because I think, Lord, how could you love people like that? And it not bother you like it's bothering me? You're God. You never made a mistake. I've made multitudes of mistakes, and I'm grieved by the way they're treating me, and I didn't even actually do anything wrong to them. And how is it that you just took all that? In fact, you knew it, and you knew all the voices of history. You knew all the multitudes of people that were going to disrespect you and just defile your name and write you into to just think of you as filth. And you would just say, Father, forgive them. They know what they do, and mean it. And I'm thinking, that's God. Only God could do that. But you're going to run across things that you have to trust the Lord for. And you're never going to be able to study the Bible in such a way where you're going to have the answer for every scenario as to why. Because when you do that way, you're looking out for yourself that way. And that's when you lose your life. Most religion is studying this Bible in such a way we figure out how it's going to work out good in our behalf. Instead of studying the Bible in such a way, how can I glorify God while I'm here? That's because we're his workmanship. We're his pleasure. Revelation tells us we're created for his pleasure. So that's really why we study the Bible. So how can I please God while I'm here? And however it works out. You know, and there again, that's true, but the evil report says the people. Don't you know how difficult that is? Or, Pastor Harper, Morgan, you help me out, son. How many people do you know actually live like that? That's part of the evil report, you know. I've said it before, and we can go to the house on this, and one of the verses that really changed my life when Jesus was speaking with Thomas, and he said, Lord, how can we know where I go, and how can we know the way? And he says to Thomas, he said, whither I go, you know. And Jesus tells Thomas, he says, and the way ye know. You know, I tell you, if I ever want to get my focus back right, And when God, he always brings you back to that passage. You know what? Because when I look at the way of Jesus Christ, how he wants me to treat every single person that I know becomes incredibly clear. I either accept it or I do like they did, but nevertheless. Or I say something like the one the rich young ruler did. And who is my neighbor? Really, who is my neighbor? You know? Right. But you know what? But see, because the first voice it says, when God's speaking about the way I should live, the Eve report began, but the people. He says, but Reiner, you know, how many people do you know that actually are doing that? Like, you really believe Jesus wants you to do it. But Reiner, how many, really think about it. Where is your example of that, what you're thinking and trying to live? Where is your example of anybody doing that? Well, the way you know, Jesus is the example. And you know, if we would just accept this pattern, Jesus was not here to take life, he's here to save life. Jesus was not here to live life, he's here to lay down his life. You know, longevity was not a concern for Jesus Christ. But there again, that's the way. We have to let God define that. And it's all so simple. But see, there again, that's where the report comes in. The people, or them or you. Well, yeah, I know God wants me to live like Jesus, you know, but. And if I tell you, there is just a life that's so much greater than I think that any of us have ever seen so far. And I just think God wants us to live it. I'm not saying that means wealth and prosperity. I don't know. I don't, honestly, for you, I don't know what that means. Somebody in this room probably maybe called me a millionaire, maybe even a billionaire. But you know what? If you actually become that person, you know what? If you're right with God, that money won't move you a bit. It won't mean anything to you. And somebody in here is meant to be poor, you know, and just enjoy life. And as we sang the song, life being a testimony of make my life a witness of thy saving power. The rich person can do it. The poor person can do it. That's what God wants for every single person in this room. That's why the multitude of backgrounds are in here right now. Warren, do you know there's something that God has for your life that only you can do? You know, your life is through the power of Jesus Christ can become an amazing testimony to the reality of the power of the name of Jesus Christ. That's why God keeps bringing you back here. It's no accident you're here today. And everybody else's name, you can put your name in there too. That's the same. But I tell you, and you know what, this church can be everything that God wants it to be and glorify God. But you know what's going to have to happen? You know what disturbs the spirit a lot of time when a church is trying to grow spiritually? The Eve report says it's the people. The people. Now, I'll accept that it could be the pastor. But the Eve report says the people. The people. You know, we could be what we really need to be, but the people. I could grow like I really need to grow, but the people. That's the evil report. Because the Bible says for every single child of God that he's given us all things to pertain unto life and to godliness through the knowledge of him. That's powerful. Now if you take that what it is, you know what? You know, if you take that what it is, and what should we, okay, let me just quote it again. The Bible says that he's given us all things that pertain unto life unto godliness through the knowledge of him. Who would like to have all things that pertain unto life unto godliness? So if that's true, what would be the goal? How are we going to get it? Through him, through the knowledge of him. So we need to get to know him. And there's no greater place, no greater way to live than with him. You know, it's just a tragedy Yeah, I always think about when, and I realize now it really wasn't this church's fault, but we were in this church for a period of time, and Sunday nights we would just be so grieved. And we'd go to this, I think it's Get and Go, and get these Dr. Peppers, and we'd get these big 44 ounce Dr. Peppers, you know, and I remember saying, that one time I said, if we drank, we'd be getting drunk right now. If some of that just refreshed us, you know, and I don't know, we were just so burdened down, you know, and we had this book here, and every word of it's true. It's more promises in here that I can even think about or know about. And you know the number of times with all these promises, I'd have a broken heart at Sunday night. Sometimes I leave the house on a Sunday night and I just go somewhere and cry. Now sometimes I'm just crying for people to get saved. That's different. I think Jesus was, he's a man of sorrows acquainted with grief. I think we need to bear one of those burdens. I've wept for my own children. I've wept for your children. I've wept for your children. I've wept for you. I've wept for everybody in this room individually, believe it or not. And just like we say back home, crocodile tears, you know. There's an old country song. Some nights I just drive around the city. It's called just wasting gas, you know. But I'm just crying out to God, praying, you know. Sometimes I've had to pull over sometimes because I can't even see because I'm weeping so much. Just asking God to bless and encourage and strengthen people, you know. But there have been the times when I knew that God was leading me to something. And all I could see was the giants. And all I could see was me. And I would weep those nights. Lord, how can I ever do or be what you want me to be? How can I ever do that? How can I ever live that? How can I ever be like that? How can I ever walk that? Just like these people in the promised land. And those nights, just like they wandered about 40 years in the wilderness, I've spent just wandering around the city, just driving around circles. There's times I've driven 7 hours before, just crying. Sometimes for souls, but sometimes just for me. I've driven all night before, and I've got all these promises in this book. I've got all these promises, just drive around in circles. How can I get in? No, it's too big. It's too big. The giants are too big. They're too big. I can't. I fail too much. I don't have enough faith. I don't have enough this. I can't. And God says, and if Caleb's sitting there saying, man, we be well. And it's funny, you know, and God is so faithful. And many of those times, after the seventh hour, I just finally stopped looking in the mirror and opened my Bible. Lord, forgive me. It's a shame it took 7 hours to get there. But I don't mind weeping for people's souls all night. That's different. I praise God for a heart. I used to complain about that, but I'm glad that I can't turn my burden off. I'm glad to be able to pray and to meet and to ask God to help people and to plead with people. Warren, I'm glad that God never let me give up on you. I mean, I'm glad. You know, I'm glad God has given it on me. I've been known to Warren over 10 years, you know, and there are probably a number of people that have given up on you. But I know that through the power of the name of Jesus, man, that's much for you. And everybody in this room, I mean the same thing, you know. Because I assume you're here today because you want to follow God. And I know you have struggles this week. Some of it's just a struggle just to get here, you know. Some of you wonder why I keep coming here, this little small handful of people in the basement of a library, you know. But because God wants to do something with you. Not that he can do it with you somewhere else. If he leads you somewhere else, to God be the glory. I mean, that's all well and good. But man, the Bible really is the Word of God. And the life of a child of God really can be lived. We just have to take time and recognize the evil report when it comes upon us. And reject that evil report. And just still our own heart, like Caleb still the people, Seal on heart. No, I must obey it once because I be well able to overcome it. You know, it's all simple. It's like the little song you sing in junior church. Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. Doing exactly what the Lord commands. Doing it happily. O-B-E-D-I-E-N-C-E. Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. Our Lord in heaven, my Father, I thank you for this day. And Lord, I just ask you now, Lord, whoever came in today standing at the door of promises that you've made to them, there have to be some of your children either looking at a promise or have walked away from a promise and are wandering right now. But I thank you. You said these things are written for our admonition and our learning. We can learn from their 40 years of wandering. We don't have to wander 40 years. We can confess our sins, and you're faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank you by the name of Jesus. I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for even in those nights where I wandered all night just driving circles and crying out to you, many times in self-pity and anguish, your Holy Spirit I thank you that you wouldn't let me go home broken. I thank you that every single one of those times it happened, you caused me to repent and to trust you before you allowed me to return home. I thank you for that. Lord, if there's somebody here today that's wandering like that, oh God, would you just have mercy on them? Would you allow them to see that there's no giant that's greater than your power and your might, and no giant bigger than the authority of the name of Jesus Christ. And also that there's no person, there's no people that can hinder what you really want to do in our individual lives. I thank you for just how you confirm your word in so many different ways, Lord. And my Father, for those that don't even know you, oh Lord, would you please just show them what they're missing out on? A life of peace and rest and a life supernaturally empowered by you to where you take all things and work it together for good. What an amazing, mighty God you are. Lord, as we prayed earlier, take this preaching and accomplish your perfect will. In Jesus' name, I ask this all.